means no disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Whoso beset him round with dismal stories, to but themselves confound, his strength the more is. No foe shall stay his might, though he with giants fight. He will make good his right to be a pilgrim. Since, O thou dost defend us with thy spirit, we know we at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies flee away, I'll fear not what men say. I'll labor night and day to be a pilgrim.
Well, I want to exhort you today, and if we turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 32. Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 32. And here he says, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." That's a great statement there. And Jesus knew that his Father was going to exalt and lift him up, that he's going to have the name above all names, exaltation in his life. And it's very important that we experience that in our lives. And I'm calling our teaching today the lifting up of Jesus, the lifting up of Jesus. And he speaks again of this, also in the same chapter of John, in chapter 8 and verses 28 and 29 of chapter 8 of John, 28 and 29. "And then Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him.' And he spoke these words, many believed in him." So here we get a further clue of what our Lord is saying here in verse 28. He says, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things." So he refers himself as being lifted up, and he says, "When I'm lifted up, then you will know. You will know that I am he." In other words, I am God incarnate. I am the Son of God and God. And he says, you will know. In other words, what he is saying here, you will know my deity. You will know who I am. Up until now, they don't really know. Even though they hear these words, they walked with him some 3 years, yet they didn't really know. They had to receive the baptism of the Spirit. They had to have their ears and eyes and minds enlightened by the Spirit. And God, of course, does the same with us. We don't grasp everything immediately. We know that things have changed. We know that our hearts have changed. Something radical has happened to us, but we are a work in progress. We are being worked upon. And there are great truths and revelations and doctrines of which have to be learnt and experienced. And Jesus quite clearly says here, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. And He says, you will not only know that I am He, but that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. So He refers to the greater one in His earthly ministry. That is His Father, the one who is going to raise Him from the dead at Calvary. So the idea of all of this is to be raised up, to be seen. Now again, we need to look at some of these words, these ideas of what is actually meant here of raising Jesus. We also will be raised. There's going to be a lot of raising that is going to go on at the end of the age. But this idea to raise with regard to what Jesus is speaking about is being raised to honour, to dignity. It also can refer to as being raised up into glory, prosperity, opulence. It's used of lifting, elevating. And of course, Jesus was raised on the cross. Before He is raised into glory, He has to be first raised up on that cross in which to die. That was a form of being raised, but it had to be death first, humiliation, taking man's punishment and guilt and sin upon Himself. And that's how it works. Before you and I are raised, we have to first experience the cross being raised up in our life first. Romans 12, 1 and 2 speaks about presenting yourself as a living sacrifice upon the cross. It means again to raise yourself up, to place yourself in that position. It's a form of elevation. And this is where we get these ideas. But we have to be raised first. It has to be the cross. It had to be the cross for Jesus in order to win the victory over death and sin. And when He was raised and taken up into glory, we're told even the graves opened up and many of the Old Testament saints were seen. Again, a raising up. Resurrection is a raising up from a position to a higher position of exaltation. Raised to glory. It also can mean to be raised unto honour and dominion. So, for the overcomers, we are being raised into a position. As God is working on us, as the man-child in the woman's womb is ready soon to be birthed. What does that indicate to us? A birthing is a raising up into a position, into an authority. And when the Lord comes for the overcomers, we will be caught away, raptured. Here again is this being lifted up, being raised up to a greater, higher position. So we have something tremendous in the future for us. How can we doubt? Even until we go, may go through our trials and tests, what are they in light of what we are facing? What is the future for us? Being raised to honour and dominion and authority with Christ Jesus. The very power and spirit that lifted up Jesus, raised him, is the very power that works with us as well and will work with us. Well, let's turn to some other scriptures to confirm this. In Matthew 23 and verse 13. Matthew 23 and verse 13. But woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. So the woes were against the scribes and the Pharisees because they won't allow a raising up, an exhortation, and entering in to the saints' inheritance, because they're not entering in, because they're not born again, so they stop others as well. Just like what the devil does. We also get an idea of this in Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Saviour, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So God exalted, lifted Jesus up in order through him we may have forgiveness, repentance, not only to us, but to Israel as well, and for the future. So there again, we get this idea of Jesus being lifted up. What about 1 Peter? Remember that what God did and has done through Jesus Christ, he also shares and he does with us as well. And we see in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, which you know very well, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So those who are hindered with pride, who hold on to pride, God says, if you humble yourself, if you deal with this, under the mighty hand of God, he may lift you up, exalt you in that right time and way. So here again, this is very, very important. This helps us to be lifted up over the spirit of this age, over the enemy who has been holding us, binding us with pride. It says that he, in his time, will raise us up, exalt us, so that we can have dominion, we can overcome these things. And that's why God works with us like he does. This is why he's working on our hearts, our minds, our attitude, working with this pride that still makes us independent of God. And therefore God can't exalt and lift us up above the enemy, above bondage, sickness, unbelief, all of those things that the enemy tries to fetter and hold the body of Christ down with. It is so sad that the Christian church doesn't know how to lift Jesus up. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. How is he lifted up? He's lifted up through you and I. through saints who are consecrated, who walk in faith and obedience. That's how the world sees that he's lifted up. He doesn't just suddenly appear in the clouds and lifts himself up. That's not how he does it. He lives and resides in each of us, in the church. We're set, baptized into the body in order that he will be lifted up. So it is imperative that you and I are lifted up above the natural, above the carnal, above the flesh, above unbelief. And that's what he's doing. And that's why our life is a supernatural life and walk, because we're being lifted up above. Do you know, I experienced something of that today. I went today to my gym and spa. I thought I would go today. And as I got in the car and I started to drive off, I wasn't sure whether I got a puncture. It felt like I got one, but I realised as I was going down the lane out onto the road that it was just some rough parts of the road that I was going up. But I was going over, but I was convinced, I thought, I got a puncture. And as I was going along, I just said, praise you, Lord, thank you, Father. It isn't a puncture. Thank you for Psalm 91. Thank you that you give your angels charge and over us and everything, because, you know, the thought of having to stop because you've got a puncture or whatever is not much fun. And I was just thanking and praising God this. And I came out of the area where I live, out onto a main road, which is like common land. It's common land where the army actually train, and it's quite a fast road. And I was going along there just thanking and praising God that it wasn't a puncture, and I couldn't believe it. On the other side was a white van driving along quite fast, and suddenly, out of his window, he threw a bottle which smashed onto the road right in front of me about 200 yards as I'm motoring. And I was just able to swerve from it, else I would have what? Got a puncture. And I said, praise you, Lord. There you were protecting me, talking about, you know, I'm wondering whether I had a puncture or I didn't. And then suddenly that happens. It was God preparing me. He knew what was going to happen. This crazy man threw this bottle out of his window that smashed onto the main road. And I just thanked and praised God. What is that all about? It's being lifted up above these things. As Christ is lifted up, so we are lifted up with him. That is why we look to Calvary. That is why we keep our eyes on Jesus, the one who is resurrected, lifted up. That is why we look to the death of Jesus, because that is what lifts us up. And that is what he's doing in your life and my life. He's having to work that death first in order to raise us up, to lift us up with Christ Jesus. And that is why he's dealing with your unbelief, hardness of heart, where we're still not obedient to the Lord. He's ever working, bringing us to that death experience. As we keep our eyes on Calvary and the death of Jesus in order to raise and lift us up in him. Because he said, if I will be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That lifting up of our lives is the very presence and power of God in your life that speaks to this dying world. That's how he does it. And so he's then with us in our everyday walk, in our witness, in our lives. in sharing the good news of the gospel. But sadly, what is Christendom's idea of lifting Christ up today? Well, their idea of lifting Christ up today is a cross on an altar or a cross round somebody's neck. Their religious works and activities, that is not lifting Christ. You're not lifting Christ because you're good. You go to church on Sunday and you attend all the prayer meetings, as important as that might be. You're not lifting Christ because you pray religiously 2 hours a day and read your Bible every day. And that all has its point. But that is not lifting Christ. Lifting Christ is when he brings you to the end of yourself, when it is letting go of those areas of unbelief or sin or hardness of heart. As Christ had to be lifted up, but first he had to be lifted up, being placed upon that cross. That cross first had to be death in order then for God to raise him up in glory, power and honor. And it's the same work with us. He has to bring those areas of death into our lives, so that it is then Christ and not us that is seen. And there then is the lifting up. That is why when the church goes through martyrdom, goes through great persecution, that is always powerful, because there the world is seeing God's people overcoming, enduring. They're seeing through hardship, persecution, they're seeing Christ lifted up through them, preserving them. That is why your testimony and my testimony is so powerful, brothers and sisters, because it can't be in the natural. And people are looking at it and wondering, what is this? What keeps these Christians going? What keeps them believing and confessing when everything is against them? What keeps them walking with God when most of the people or family are laughing at them? That is where God is lifted up in and through us. And give it time. God will change all that mocking. God will change all that criticism, those lies and things that they say. God has a way of silencing his enemies. And he does it by lifting his name up, his glory, which is seen. So the question is, what God is doing with us, in us and through us, is this lifting Christ up for the world to see in my life and in this church and FGA? Let's turn to some more scriptures. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27. Colossians chapter 1, 26, 27. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that is what it is, brothers and sisters. You're filled, you're born again, baptized in the Spirit, so that the world can see the riches and the glory and the mystery of Christ in you and his church. There again, that is lifting Jesus up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. How about Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Romans chapter 8, 10 and 11. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Here it is again, being raised up, elevated. That is the hope, that is the promise that is set within our hearts, raised unto honour and dominion with Christ Jesus. So the whole idea of this raising up is in order to be seen. It's for the world to see. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul, he brought out this further lifting up of Jesus. He was experiencing this and seeing this. For example, in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And that is how Jesus is lifted up amongst the saints and the church. By whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. That is how it is achieved, and that is what the Holy Spirit works and does with us if we let him. So we see, don't we, that the Holy Spirit is challenging the overcomers to identify with his death. And that's the key to it. Death to this world. All that it has to offer, the spirit of this age. It is so subtle. It is so seductive. It draws us away very subtly. Light and darkness do not mix. We cannot be for long with those who do not love Jesus. You haven't anything in common. I don't care whether it's your sister, your brother, your mother, or whatever it is. They draw you down. They make us compromise and come on their level. They don't want to talk about the one whom we love, about Jesus. They're not interested. So why do we get so caught up all the time? Now, of course, it's a balance. Everything, of course, is. But we read here very clearly that the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So the cross that I take up daily and follow, is it crucifying the world, the spirit of this age? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Is that working in my life or not? Sometimes it isn't. We compromise in this area. That is why Jesus brings the sword down right into those areas, particularly in our life and families, that stop this from happening in the most subtle way. I remember when I got saved and then my mother got saved. One of the first things the family was saying to us, you're not the same anymore. You've changed. There's something different about you. We used to have fun and a laugh and joke and everything. That was often said to us. Well, I praise the Lord They saw a change, a difference. And they weren't always so keen to see us so much. Because it's the lifting up of Jesus. You know, our heart's desire and confession should be, Lord, I don't want them to see me. It's not about me. It's about Christ in me, the hope of glory. All I want is that you are seen. That you reach out to this dying world through me. Is that your heart's desire? Is that what burns in you? Is that what you want? Is that your prayer that you pray to God? It should be. Or are you afraid of that? Because if you ask for that and you want that, that means God's going to start separating you. Brothers and sisters, we have to settle this one. Because otherwise, the Lord is not going to be lifted up. And the world is not going to be convinced. And that's why the Holy Spirit's come baptizing us, dealing with this unbelief, this sin, bringing about these death experiences, spiritually speaking, which we are desperate for. We have to accept God's verdict on sin and unbelief as judged on the cross of Christ. If you truly are looking at the cross and looking to what it cost Christ, that is the verdict of sin. And so do I want to be identified with his death? So that there's that loss of interest with sin and self and the world. This was always the children of Israel's problem. God chastened them through idolatry. You know, when we read and we look at these idols that they followed or whatever it is, one asks yourself that question, well, how could they be so stupid? How foolish? Who wants to follow those dumb old idols that they had? Well, you needed to live in that time. You see, these idols are Mystery Babylon in nature. Babylon is the world, harlotry, fornication, which we do spiritually. And Israel fell into this idol worship. In other words, wanting what the world has, wanting to look and be like the world and enjoy what the world has. That was basically it. And guess what? It's no different. It's no different today. It's still exactly the same today, what we still battle. And this is why God is, he will not compromise with us with regard to the cross and the death to the self-life. It's absolute. And that's why we have so few who follow us. That's why we have most who come into this room but never stay. Do you know why they don't stay? Because it's about the cross. It's about Christ being exalted and lifted up. It's about the cross that we take up also and follow. It's not a popular message. Very few follow it. And want it. And we're only here by the grace and mercy of God. So none of us can be complacent. We're still a work in progress. So it is always going to be challenged. We're always going to be challenged. Do I want to be identified with his death? That's the question. And the Holy Spirit will keep challenging us until we settle it, till we decide. Because when you do this, then an identification of his death will take over. And you can confidently say then, as it says in Galatians 2:20, which we love to quote and sing, I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We can confidently recite that and say that. Why? Because it is my experience. And he enables this to be achieved. John 15 and verse 5, the Gospel of John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So there we are. So it comes right back to the one who's exalted and lifted high, drawing all men unto him. And that is why, as we lift him high, exalt him, he's drawing you and I, he's drawing everyone by the power that raised Christ from the dead, the very same power raising you and I as well, for his glory. And that's why our walk is a complete commitment, and it's a devotion to him and him only. And I believe part of our restoration is that Christ is lifted up through the church, through the overcomers, through these earthen clay vessels that he's working on. He's lifted up, not by doing, but by being. And there's the difference. You can't do this yourself. This is a miraculous work. This can only be achieved by the power of the Spirit. So there we are, brothers and sisters. I think that we are going to think a little differently now, when we start to think or read or we sing songs about lift Jesus high and so on. There's a lot more to this than we realize. And I've just touched the surface this evening with regard to this. But it means it's an elevation. It's a being taken up to a higher position, a higher level. And in many ways, that is our walk as sojourners in this life. We find ourselves being taken from plateau to plateau. We were shown this years ago in vision, where it's like steps. You go up from step to step to step, and each step is taking you higher and higher and higher. And so, of course, the higher you go, the greater your vision and the greater you can see. So there's blessing all around with this, brothers and sisters. And as Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So let the Holy Spirit lift you up, that you go higher and higher. Don't resist him. Just yield over to the Spirit and let him do it. And it will be experiences that the world cannot give, that people, family cannot give. And in many ways, as I close, that's what our hearts really cry out for. The trouble is we get confused at times what our hearts are really crying out. We look to the wrong things to satisfy, but our hearts are crying out for more of him. more of his presence, experiencing more of God. So let him do it. Don't let's resist any longer, but yield over to the Spirit, that Christ also may be lifted up in my life as I am crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me. Praise God. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your infinite love and mercy. Thank you, Father, that you enable us to be able to embrace your word and take the deeper life teaching when sadly we see so many run away from it or don't want it. Lord, you've put that desire within our heart and spirit for more, that unquenching thirst. You have put within our very soul more of Jesus that we want. And Father, we thank you that you are lifting and raising us up with you. And we are experiencing it, Lord, as we go from one step to another. And every step that we take takes us higher and a greater experience with you that the world cannot give. So I thank you, Father, for this spiritual bread that you have given us today, and I pray that we all partake of this and that we're not only hearers but doers of the word. And Lord, I pray you'll bless our week, our going out and our coming in. You'll give your angels charge over us. We thank you for the blessings of your word and Psalm 91 over our lives and property. We thank you, Lord, for all of this, and we take none of this lightly or for granted. But it is precious. It's wonderful. It has a value that the world just cannot give or buy. And so, Father, may we be a blessing to those who move us alongside. May the love and light of Jesus Christ reach out and touch their hearts, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus, I'll find
My heart.